We'll go ahead and start without him. I'm not really sure when he'll arrive. All right, good afternoon, everyone. I guess I should probably say good evening. We have now been joined by our race-winning team. We are joined by team owner Jeff Dickerson, race-winning crew chief Luke Lambert. Congratulations, gentlemen. Obviously a big victory for Carson being his first win, but a big victory for the organization. Jeff, if you don't mind, just give us a little bit of thought. You know, you guys hired Carson and really believed in him, and just talk a little bit about, you know, that path to get to today.
Oof. You know, look, the first thought, Amanda, really was there's a lot of guys on that 77 team that were with us. I mean, that entire crew, other than Luke and Carson, were with us when we were, you know, running 34th or running, you know, in the back. And it's just like, you know, I can talk about the faith that we put in Carson, but I really am humbled and touched by the faith that group put in us to get us to this day. It wasn't easy. We had the ups and downs, obviously, with Carson. You know, more relieved, you know, than anything. You know, we've been knocking on the door. We've contended for wins now for a couple years, and it just feels like it just wasn't our time, or we screwed something up, or, you know, or something. But I'm you know, proud of Carson, proud of him for really also just like putting his trust in us. Luke and I have had a lot of conversations with him to try to prepare him for this moment, and it paid off putting him in that high pressure spot with three to go, and he made all the right moves. And yeah, I mean, that's that's what I'm thinking.
And Luke, for you, what does it mean for you to have the opportunity today to lead this team to victory?
It's a very special moment. You know, I've been blessed to have a few opportunities to see Victory Lane before, but this one truly does feel more special in a lot of ways. And I think what makes this feel so special to me is it is a opportunity that I got to be a part of a long-term plan that really involved commitment. And it comes from Jeff and the folks that he's partnered with. But Jeff Dickerson saw an opportunity that putting me in the position that I'm in and putting Carson in the position he's in and the rest of the team was something that he could lean into. And having that backing and support and feeling like a partner in the deal from day one and recognizing that it's not a one-week thing and we're not racing you know, to the end of the day, we're racing to our long-term plan, which we know takes time. And that recognition of where have been along that journey and where we are currently, I think, has been the key to our success. So I know that's a long way to say how I feel, but it makes this moment feel really special because I know this moment is the culmination of so many days and nights and weekends and phone calls and time at the shop, time having hard conversations, and just being relentless, but while being relentless, also trusting each other and recognizing that we have the right players involved within our group and within our team. And, you know, we've moved the ball for the last 2 years. We started out being able to be consistent, and then we wanted to be better and be fast, and then we couldn't be consistent and fast at the same time, but we could be fast. And this year I feel like we've harnessed both of those things, and we're on the path to being relatively fast and consistent. We're not as fast as we want to be or as consistent as we want to be yet, but we're close. And it's special to put it all together here today and really coming off of really 3 weeks in a row where we, you know, foreseeably had a path to victory one way or the other at Kansas and Bristol, and to come here and to put it all together, it's very sweet, and it feels like it's on purpose. And I'm just blessed and thankful to be a small piece of it.
All right, we'll go ahead and go to questions. Raise your hand if you have one. I'm going to work to get to as many people as I can. I will start up front here with Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. For Jeff, all weekend the talk has been about the future of the sport and leadership in the sport. How much is the future of the sport up to drivers like Carson?
I mean, I think it's obviously a big part of it. I mean, you guys have seen it. There's kind of like this big juxtaposition of how sometimes the garage looks at Carson and then you see, you know, the crowd up there going ape shit while he's hanging out the window. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's going to take stuff like that. That personality connects, you know. You know, obviously it's on the drivers. They're, you know, they're the biggest, you know, part of it. But it's going to take, you know, the teams, and it's going to take, you know, NASCAR itself. I mean, obviously, you know, big change this week. We're undefeated with O'Donnell now as the CEO. So we were happy for the change, I guess. But, but you know, but it's seriously, I mean, it sounds, you know, stupid, but it's kind of like what we've done here at Spire. I mean, it's going to take everybody in there to keep pushing this forward. And I know Carson will do his part for sure.
All right, we'll go to Jeff, and then Jordan, and then John Newby. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I got two for you, Jeff. Did you know he was going to do that celebration? Did he talk about that before?
No. We were all trying to find him, and he, you know, looks like Shamu hanging out the window at SeaWorld out there, and it's just like, man, we're going to get fined, I mean, in our first win, you know? But no, I had no idea. I mean, you know, he's such an entertainer. I'm sure he had it thought out, but I didn't know about that.
But weren't surprised to be surprised.
Oh, no, not at all.
The other thing is, I mean, what is it about this kid? You know, like, we see the stuff he comes up with and the moves he makes on the track and stuff, but what do you see in him that where is this coming from?
So, this kid knows how to stand on the gas. Right, he has probably the most irrational confidence of a driver I've ever seen, and that somehow pays off, right? Because it's like, you know, even you guys you guys have seen him kind of grow up a little bit in front of you, and you know, it's you put that kid in that spot, and again, he didn't have a ton of truck wins or Xfinity wins, right? But he doesn't care. I mean, I don't want to say it like that, but he doesn't care that that's some hero that he grew up watching next to him. He just wants to race him, right? And I just think that that's that combination is hard to find, but with an organization like ours, it's like it's exactly what we needed, you know, because we had to have somebody that just, I don't want to say didn't care, but you know, we were going to pour into him as much as he was pouring into us, and but we certainly saw a star in the making, and today it looks like we knew what we were doing.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Start with you, Jeff. Spire, we've heard a lot about Spire since 2019, and you guys have continued to invest and grow, and it's always you guys are going to be that next big team. You're going to punch above your weight class, but you hadn't gotten to there yet. You hadn't gotten that win yet. Did you ever question whether it was actually going to happen? And for the people that may have doubted you, what would you say to them?
I don't know that I didn't question it. I think it's we were able to fumble so many that, I mean, seriously, I mean, I was super happy when we won, but I'm also, like, incredibly relieved, you know, because you know, and I thank everybody for kind of, you know, pointing out our when we're improving, you know, but it's like we had to cash in. But, you know, look, I can say that when we first started this deal and, you know, there was tons of questions on what the hell we were doing and why. And, I mean, shit. I mean, last time I was in this press, you know, center, right? When you know, and everybody's just like, what the hell are you guys doing? What's happening? You guys are buying Kyle Busch. You guys are doing, you know. It's like I said before, it's like I think some skepticism is obviously healthy. But I know I can stand in front of this whole group in here and the sport and everybody and say we did and have done everything that we said we were going to do when we first bought that Furniture Row charter, and that's just the facts. I mean, we're not done. You know, we want to put a couple in the playoffs this year, and or hope we do, and go from there. But I think we can take these guys on.
Luke, from the crew chief's perspective, how did you feel stage one went with the elongated, you know, number of laps there and, you know, the fuel strategy, that kind of thing? Did you like how that played out? Were you not liking that?
You know, I think for me, my standpoint, it's not probably my favorite. I think from the fans' perspective, I don't know, arguably maybe it's good and bad. It did have the result that we expected, which was that it was going to break things up a lot and you were going to have multiple strategies going back and forth. The one thing that it does force from a competitor standpoint is it forces you to truly have to really rely on who you're working with because there's so many options the way you can play that stage out now. When it was a short stage and there was only a certain amount of fuel, we all had the ability to really guess what people were doing. And so teams had the opportunity to kind of jump in on anybody's strategy and know what they were going to do when they came down pit road and pit with them. Now we don't know what other people are going to do when we come down pit road. So you really have to have buy-in from the folks that you're pitting with to be able to commit to do your strategy, because otherwise you could put yourself in jeopardy of being on an island when you come back out on the racetrack. So, yeah, I think it probably, as a spectator standpoint, it creates an interesting strategy scenario if that's what fans are interested in seeing. But, you know, I'm happy to race under whatever rules they put it under. The only thing I'm not crazy about is it does require us as race team competitors to truly rely on others to make our strategy, and that's difficult.
This is, I don't know if it impacted you guys or not. There were a lot of teams that had issues on pit road in stage one. Was that anything to do? Is that just coincidence, or is it because of the circumstances and everything?
You know, I was surprised to see the volume of that we saw. We do normally see it when we come here, but there was a lot more than normal. For one, most of the field pitted twice, so it doubles your opportunity for it. But outside of that, I think there was still an uncharacteristically high number of mistakes that guys made the first time they came down pit road. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. But, for us, first and foremost, we just wanted to survive stage one, get through there on the lead lap. We really wanted to capture some stage points, which unfortunately we didn't do, but we wanted to just get through there and put ourselves in position to pounce at the end and be in position to win.
All right, John, go ahead.
John Newby, FanBuzz. Luke, you touched on this earlier with saying how special this win feels. I am curious, since you left Junior Motorsports and came back to the Cup Series, it's not been an easy road. There's been lots of gut punches along the way, especially, over the last couple of years when you guys are in contention for a win and then something happens, like mechanical failures. Was there ever a time where you're just like, man, why am I doing this again when I was dominating in a different series? And, I mean, how did you keep going?
That's a great question. So, just a little bit about myself. I've been in the Cup garage now for close to 20 years, not quite. And I've taken a couple brief sabbaticals to the Xfinity series, which were really fun. And both of the years that I spent in the Xfinity series came with a lot of wins and a shot to win championships. But I want to be a Cup champion. That's my personal goal. That's what I want to do. So as much fun as I had in the Xfinity Series and really enjoyed those experiences, I'm grateful to Richard who gave me those opportunities originally, RCR and Dale Jr. Those were great times, but this is where I want to be. And I really felt like when I had the opportunity to work with Carson just shortly before we came here to Spire, and had the opportunity to get on board with Jeff, there was a special opportunity in the making. And so the main thing that we tried to do from day one is set our expectations square to where we were on our journey, knowing that we were on a journey that wasn't about year one or year two or year three. We're into year three now, but we've tried to be honest with ourselves about where we're at on that path. And that's what's allowed us to keep putting one foot forward, because we're not so focused on the feeling of defeat that you get and the crushing feeling of not getting the ultimate goal that you want right now. Knowing that we're part of building something is honestly just way more rewarding. And so since I've been at Spire Motorsports, being a small piece of that building process is truly about the most rewarding thing I've ever done, and definitely the most fun I've ever had in the Cup garage. So I've truly enjoyed every day working at Spire, and I wanted to be in victory lane sooner than now. And hope to be here a whole lot more. But I'm thankful that we got here, and I really feel like that it's special to me right now, because I know of all the work that so many men and women at Spire Motorsports have been putting in for years to get us to this point. And I say it to the team a lot. We just got to put ourselves in that position enough times, and we will do it. There's always four or five guys that have the chance of winning the race. We have to be one of those guys enough times, and we'll do it. So it's cool that Spire has been able to do that, put us in that spot, and Carson making it happen.
Good, Weaver.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com for Jeff. You said first win, but I guess technically we could go back to Daytona and Justin, Jay Robinson. And I'm curious, being that that does count as a Spire win, mm-hmm. how is this different or similar or whatever compared to that day?
I mean, that one was the, you know, the longest hostage situation in NASCAR history. I mean, we won that race, right? And we don't want to apologize for it. But this one was obviously settled on the racetrack. And you had to execute with through all those stages and or through all the pit stops on the, in that first stage. And there's so many moments on the intercom or, you know, where we're talking. And it's like there's so many moments that can trip you up. And it was funny when we stopped screaming at each other and telling each other, you know, how happy we were. It was we executed for 500 miles. And we know with that, you know, with our team, if we can execute for 500 miles, it's so cliche and it's so true, right, that we know that we can win these races. And you guys have watched us shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, so many times. But this field, I mean, we were in victory lane. We weren't in like the, you know, I mean, it's like everything's different about it, right? We had, you know, a proper victory lane. We had a proper burnout. We had all these things, right? And so it's just everything's different. I mean, we're obviously a different team now, you know, too. But it's a real good question, man. But everything's different.
And Luke already addressed this too, so I want to ask you about it. But just you guys now have a top 10 championship standing car and have won a race. Do you guys have like a list of this is a checklist moment and then another one and then another one, and where are you guys on that? And when it comes time to race it out in the chase, mm-hmm. are you guys at the point now where you can start to make noise for those final 10?
I really believe that, Matt. We don't have the checklist on the wall. You know, Spire is made up of a lot of men and women. I mean, we race, right? And racers race, and there's, you know, it's always about executing. It's always about the next race. You know, even it was funny, even in victory lane, me and Matt were already talking about Texas, right? So, but, you know, I do think that certainly the hope is to get a couple in the playoffs, right? And we, you know, that the 71 got crashed, and it looked like, you know, he made it through the big one, and it was like, oh my gosh, man, if we can just get that thing across and kind of reset where he's at in the points, at least we're fighting for something. But we've got a shot to get two in the playoffs. And you know, when we look at that 77 team, who have been battle tested now somehow, right? And now Carson sees, and that whole team sees, that it's just like, when we do X, Y, and Z, we can do this. And I hope this isn't the last time we're in here, you know, this year. But I don't think it's hyperbole to say that if that 77 group, because I don't think our organization has quite hit on all cylinders this year, and I sure as hell don't think the 77 has hit on all cylinders this year. So when we can finally put it together, and if we put it together at the right time, and I will be more than happy if that's from dead too.
Kelly, can you raise your hand? Thank you.
Still dead? No, back.
Start with you. Carson told me recently that he thinks one of the biggest things for Spire as a whole is that there hasn't been, as he called it, the distraction of why is the 7 car or why is just one car out of the 3 slower than the rest? What's going on? And that it's really helped everybody pull in the same direction and focus on, you know, what can we do to get our cars better instead of wondering, as I said, what's going on. I wanted to get your take on how big has that dynamic been, that this start to the season for how good all 3 teams and cars have been, and as I said, just the dynamic in the race shop when it comes to that.
Yeah. So before the season started, we actually, the competition group leadership did a little offsite thing, Daniel was new, so it was our first opportunity to get to know him. And in the process of doing some leadership training and some self-evaluation and some work together to understand each other and push ourselves to new levels, I felt like our group gelled Unfortunately, we weren't able to bring every single man and woman of the company to this event, but the leadership group, particularly of the folks that traveled to the racetrack, were all there. That forged us as a group rolling into the season as a team that felt like we had been together for years, even though we'd just known Daniel for just a few months. And it has put Daniel and Ryan Sparks and that whole 7 team on the fast track to just integrating right into what we do. And I can't really say enough about what Daniel Suarez has done coming into our organization as far as being a teammate, being an example, and really just being there for all of us. And I think that that was a piece that really elevated our program. Those guys and girls on that team, you know, Ryan Sparks, they're doing a great job putting a fast race car on the racetrack. But, you know, that was a piece that really has taken a big step up this year. And that has got all three of our teams to where, you know, it's a force multiplier because we go to the racetrack and we have, you know, another data point of a really solid piece of information that we can work on and make adjustments from. And, you know, so much of what we do here at the racetrack on the weekends is try to use all the available information we've got. And when we have another strong piece of information to work from, it's a huge, huge piece to work, you know, make us better.
The relief to your answer to Jordan about what this feels like. Along those same lines, I've been as guilty as anybody, right, of asking, you know, when is Spire going to win? You keep talking about it over the last couple years. So with your relief, how validating do you think it is for everybody in the building now to get a win early in the season? Because like I said, you guys have started so solid to now have something on the board.
Yeah, I think we're going to be dangerous. I can't tell you, you know, enough about the conversations that we have in our shop, how we've been building to this moment, how we've been believing in each other, and kind of like our way, if you will, is now validated. And there's 175 people in that building now that see what it looks like. And I don't know if you guys saw, it's like, man, our whole company was in victory lane. Right. I mean, everybody had a touch of that. I mean, when you said Daniel, I was like, I mean, I thought Daniel was happier than Carson for a minute, you know? So it's just like, again, that's a great term that he used was it's just a force multiplier. And, you know, you already have Carson's irrational confidence. I mean, he's going to show up in like a fur coat, you know what I mean, on Monday. Right. And so, but it's like, it's crazy, but it's like confidence is contagious. Right. And, you know, when Luke's talking about these conversations we're having on Monday, it's like, you know, you get kind of like, it's like Groundhog Day, right? Because we're talking about, man, if this, we were in the mix, we just didn't do this, or man, we should have done this, or we should have taken four, or we should have stayed out, or, you know, put them on offense. Luke and I always just like, put them on offense. And now it's true, you know, and now it's real. So that's where we're, I really think we're going to be dangerous. Again, I really don't think it's hyperbole. If we can just, you know, with the help we get from Hendrick and the Hendrick engine shop, and you know, we've got a really good group. I mean, you know, I also want to kind of give a shout out to Matt McCall. I mean, Matt McCall brings a level of intensity and discipline in that competition director's role that is something that we've been missing, because we had Sparks in that, but Sparks was doing a couple jobs, right? And so like Matt McCall shows up, he probably's first guy there. I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know if he goes home. But it's just that attention to detail and that intensity, you guys are watching us kind of like, I do think we were just going to be a dangerous group, because now we really have that validation that we can do it. And I know it's a plate race, and I'm not putting it against, you know, hey, it's winning a plate race. I'm more happy with how we won it than winning it, right? It made no mistakes, you know, so that's, I think we can. We just need to keep it rolling here. Get a couple other ones in here.
All right, Steven, go ahead.
Steven Toronto, NASCAR Pole Position. This will be a question for Jeff, but Luke can also chime in on this as well. You mentioned the way the crowd reacted to Carson, and even before he got out of the window and started, you know, pumping up on the front stretch, the reaction they had was almost instantaneous. And there's only a select few drivers who have gotten that sort of reaction, and it's usually like an Earnhardt or an Allison, or I mean even Cletus yesterday. Why do you think Carson resonates with the fans to that level and that extent?
I mean, that's a good question. I think I think everybody, I mean, I think all of us, you know, you see kind of like this homegrown story. Everybody pulls for the underdog. I mean, that, you know, Carson is more like the people. I mean, he goes up and watches the races in the crowd. I mean, Carson is more like those people than, I mean, I can say it, a lot of the guys, you know, that he races with. And people see the genuineness of it. It's not, you guys have all, it's not an act, right? They see the genuineness of it. And all these guys up in the crowd, it's just like, you know, they have their favorites and they have a lot of the guys that they hate. And it feels like Carson either hits or beats most of the guys he hates, or those people hate, right? And so, you get that connection. And the other part, Stephen, is, you know, I had said earlier that racers race. And, like, we as a team, but certainly with Carson, I mean, we go and meet the fans where they're at. Not all of them can make it to a cup race, right? So we go put them in a late model, and we go put them in a dirt late model. And, I mean, the idiot goes to the Chili Bowl when he doesn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he just loves to race. And, again, but it's also kind of that way where he just throws caution to the, you know, no caution to the wind. And just, I mean, I don't think we hit anybody today. I mean, maybe Eric, but that really wasn't his fault. But, like, you know, he's always in the mix. He's always doing something that gets their attention, and I think they appreciate it. And like I said to, you know, Bob's question earlier, I mean, it's like that's the stuff. You know, that's the secret sauce.
Yeah, and if I was going to add one thing, the genuineness, I think, is 100% it. There is no mold for Carson Hocevar. Nobody, you know, had a focus group to decide what a driver should look like and came up with Carson Hocevar. He is unapologetically himself. He's unique. I never met anybody that, you know, is exactly like him. And, you know, he brings that to the fans and is open to the fans with that. And I think it's just really refreshing. I think people see, you know, their sons, their friends, you know, people they know in the real world and can relate to him when he is raw and genuine to the general public.
Good deal. Thank you, guys.
All right, Holly.
Congratulations to you both. I just wanted to ask you kind of on a bigger picture. In the last 3 weeks, we've had a couple of 23-year-olds get their first victory. How important that is to the sport?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, it's a great thing to see a new class of superstars come in and usher themselves into the sport. And it's a great thing to look forward to, because, you know, we've seen with Denny and, you know, Kevin Harvick recently, you know, Kyle Busch, other guys that have had, you know, amazing long careers and they become a mainstay, and you're trying to figure out, you know, are they ever going to time out? It's impressive to see, you know, these young guys go up against people that are in that class, and it takes their talents, the right team and atmosphere around them, and then the right amount of experience to be able to go toe-to-toe with those guys that are truly Hall of Famers that have years of experience and still have all the talent and all the makings of a phenomenal race car driver. And to see the young guys start to be able to break into that, I think means great things for the sport, and it certainly you know, comes along with some interesting personalities.
All right. And we're going to take our final question from Rory back here. Yeah.
Gentlemen, Roy Akers, Skyview Sports. It seems to me, you know, when you're in news class, you learn that when dog bites man, that's not news. But when man bites dog, that is news. And that seems to be Carson. And when he was to go to, like, a Good Morning America or Fox and Friends, how do you think he would play riding in the window or them playing the coverage and his personality? It seems like it might be Carson Mania or something out there.
Oh, that's what we need, guys, is Carson Mania. It's going to be the same. Like, when he comes in here, it's just, I'm sure on a bigger scale, if he's on any, you know, any of the morning shows or anything, I mean, I think it'll play well. I mean, cause he's obviously not scripted, you know, it's, and you know what, it's kind of funny, you know, Holly, to your question too, is just like, when these young guys win their first ones, I mean, it's all still like the wonderment of it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's been a while since I've been in a cup. I mean, I forgot how long it takes, you know. But it's just you it's still kind of like they've been fighting. It's not like it's, you know, monotonous or, you know what I mean, and something. It's just like you watch those kids. Like, I was happy for Ty, you know. I mean, it's just like you see these kids get their first ones, and it's like, man, it takes you back to, like, your first one, you know. And it's there's no feeling like it, you know, because, again, it's like you think about everybody that helped you along the way. You think about, man, all the sleepless nights or riding in the truck overnight and stuff like that. And I don't care who you are in that garage, that you kind of have that story. So I think that's why it's so popular. You know, even Kyle came, you know. I mean, I just think it's like it's so – I think that's why it's kind of like a popular thing where these guys all show up for somebody's first win, because it takes them back to theirs. But I guess that's not to take away from your question either, sir, but it's just like – but it's like that's the stuff. If they put them on tomorrow, they're going to see, like, the happiest kid in the world, you know. And I hope they do.
Jeff, in closing, I wanted to ask you, being Carson's first win, this is also Chili's first win, and your organization brought Chili's in, and they've had some fun promotions, and you guys have fun fire suits and different things. But what does it mean to be able to, you know, obviously celebrate with Carson, but celebrate with their organization as well?
I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, everything was happening so fast. But it's like, you know, because you're hugging all the team guys, and all of a sudden there's like 20 Chili's people on pit road. I mean, this is like, you know, cars are still on the racetrack.
I passed them on pit road. They were very excited.
Okay,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
They were. It was unbelievable. And again, but that's it's this kind of the thing. It's, you know, when you see kind of that proof of concept, and that's, you know, again, we're talking about the competition staff, and I'm glad you brought that up, Amanda. It's like our sales group is like the best sales group in this whole garage. I mean, the ideas they come up with, the desperation they show up with every day, the, you know, they just attack this stuff. They are relentless. They are as relentless as the competition group. And to go from pitching, right, and because that's, you guys know how it is. You go to these companies and you're just like, man, I know, you know, just come and sponsor us and we're going to do all these things together. And they say, you know, shit, we're going to have them riding bulls and having rhinestone capes and all that. And you're just like, yeah, cool, come on. And but you tell them you're going to win, mm-hmm. right? That's what we tell these guys. It's like we tell them we're going to win. And, man, they were as happy as the pit crew. I mean, because they probably, just like we were selling them, they probably had to sell somebody at their place too. So now that's, you know, so this is a win for all of us and, you know, all of our sponsors those Chili's guys are going to party up maybe harder than us tonight.
All right. Well, Jeff and Luke, congratulations again. Thank you guys for coming in and spending some time with us. And make sure you guys enjoy this one.
Thank you.